Well, I invite Tim Stropstra to come on up, and you may be seated.
Last week, we got to hear a little bit about the Beatitudes. So I'm going to start with that one. A little reminder, refresher. The first one in Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor. And in my version, it says, they realize their need for God. That we got to get to that. Jesus brought a new idea to the church. And I think often we fall into the idea about life is about us. It's about what I want, and it's about my world and my goals and what we want to get out of life. Jesus, as Pastor preached last week, he brought a new idea, a new thought. And it's not about us. It's about the kingdom of God. And I know we know those words and we understand that. And I just want to challenge you a little deeper today to blessed are the poor. Poor in spirit. They realize their need for God. And I would just, and then we get that. Then he says, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. I know all of you have probably heard my testimony about me basically asking God to bless my plans, and that didn't work out so well. He wants us to find out about his plans. And I had to learn the hard way. I want y'all to learn the easy way. Just go ahead and say, not my will, Lord, thy will be done. And to get an idea in your mind and your heart about what's the kingdom of heaven want? What's the king want me to do? So we get into that mindset where we're living for the Lord and we're wanting to do his will. I titled this message, Is It Authorized? And I got this from a friend of mine that I met in Guatemala. It has a hotel in one of the tourist towns that we used to go in the past, not now, with our teams. Don't do that anymore. But this guy's name is Elio. He grew up as an orphan on the streets in Guatemala. And I love going and hanging out with him because he learned to know God as his Father, and that as he had needs, he would pray to the Father and God would answer him. It's really a supernatural. I just love his testimony. So every time I go there, I just ask him, I just want to hear him tell stories. And this one day we were sitting there in the hotel, you know, out in the grass somewhere. And the next door is a church to their hotel, and they were starting to practice, and they're making some music. And I looked at Elio, and I said, Elio, you go to that church? Are you part of that church? He goes, I used to be. And I went, oh, this is going to be a good story. I feel it. And I said, talk to me. What's going on? And he goes, well, I was a deacon, and I was part of the church, and probably one of the better tithers, I would guess. You know, he's just a good guy. And anyway, it came a particular time, the pastor announced that they're having revival services it was about having healings, and it was going to be meetings where they wanted to bring in all the sick, and they were inviting everybody in the congregation. We're going to be doing this, and it's going to be in about a month, and we're just going to go, and it'll hopefully go into a revival, and it'll be every day, and God's going to show up. Well, Elio is sitting in the congregation like you guys and listening to him, and he's going, what? What is he saying? What's going on here? Because he knows the Lord, and he was going, what's going on here? Now, it wasn't personal, but he had known the Lord and listened to God, and he wasn't wasn't tracking with the pastor. And so he just went to prayer, and he was praying. He's like, Lord, what's going on here? What's going on? And he wasn't getting anything. And so he asked for a meeting with the pastor to explain how did this all happen and how is, you know, because he was just questioning what's the motives here? What's going on? Because he wasn't tracking with it. And that happens. And so he met with the pastor, and the pastor's explaining how this all came about. And he came to a, and it still wasn't, he wasn't completely satisfied, and he came to a moment where he went, I just have a question for you, Pastor. Is it authorized, what you're doing? Is that service, is it authorized? Okay. And I went, oh, wow. Wow. That's a good question. And this is something I want to challenge some of you is, as we're going about life, making decisions, coming and going, buying and selling, doing whatever, I want you to invite this idea of blessed are the poor that know their need for God, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Lord, what do you want? We need you, God. I need you. Lord, is this decision? Is this what I'm doing? Lord, are you authorizing it? To have that type of a mindset. See, when I was wanting him to bless my plans, that wasn't a kingdom of heaven thought. That was a kingdom of Tim thought. My kingdom come. But we want God's kingdom. I'm thinking all of you guys here, we're on the same path. I mean, you come to church because you want to learn about God, right? You want to learn to follow Him. You want to see His kingdom come. Jesus came bringing a whole new concept of what it is, what He was wanting us to do. And He wants us to learn to follow Him. He wants us to do what He wants. He wants to use you to touch people's lives. And so that has penetrated into my soul, and I'm always doing that. Lord, are you in this? Are you authorizing this? Lord, am I doing this? And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding, which is how we typically operate on our own understanding, right? But he says, trust in the Lord. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you the path to take. There's a lot in that to unpack, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Is he the king? Is he in charge? Are you following him? Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you the path to take. I don't even know how long I've been going here, but I never look at the clock. I never remember how long I'm supposed to go. Dina's coming up later. But nobody's in a hurry, right? Matthew 25, 31 and on talks about judgment. It talks about the parable about the sheep and the goats. And we're all going to pass through this, by the way. We're all going to stand before us, and he's going to look at us, and he's going to judge us, and he's going to separate us as he did the sheep and the goats. What was the difference between the sheep and the goats? There's five things that he mentioned, and you don't have to be wealthy to do any of these. He mentioned people that are thirsty, strangers, naked, sick, and in prison. And he said, the sheep were the ones that, how I look at it, is the sheep had heart. They were looking outward. They weren't all, it wasn't all about me. It was, how can I help? What can I do? How can I be of use? How can I serve here? They gave a drink of water to somebody else. They might have been thirsty, but they gave something to somebody else. They took in a stranger. They helped out a stranger. They had a heart. They clothed somebody that was naked. there was a need. They saw a need, and they were involved. They went to the hospital. I mean, how many of you love going to visit people? You know, typically you don't. How many of you go to prisons and visit a prisoner? You know, typically, that's the least on the list to do. Because it's not about you. It's about the other person. He's looking for people with heart. So the sheep were the ones that did that. The goats? Oh, no, I don't have time for that. I'm and me. Okay, it's we're not serving here. We're not helping. So the kingdom of heaven is my prayer for all of you. Follow him. I want to share, there's things we have to unlearn. You know, as babies, as children, we want our way. We are hungry. We want to eat. We want to change me, you know, and it's about me. As we mature and grow up, it's about how can we help? How can we serve? And this church is fantastic. And by the way, we do want a team next year. So, just saying. Come visit us. Gene will lead you. And bring her hubby with. I think. Wouldn't that be fun? How many of you could... No, I'm not going to. Is it authorized? I'm going to just share another little story that when I got on this path of learning to follow God, it's just been amazing. Brought me this amazing wife. It's on following that path. In 93, we came back to the States for 3 months. We started the home in Guatemala and in 92, and we were renting, and this gal that we fixed up her place and fixed a lot of messes and drainage and all kinds of stuff, poured a lot of money into the place. She would come back every month and bless us with, "Oh, I'm going to raise your rent every month." And I would say, "No, you're not." I'm like, "Look, we did all this stuff." And then I'd have to go find all our stuff. And this is how much I put into this place. You need to calm down. And every month she's coming back. And I'm like, "Okay, this is not going to work, God. We need our own land. We got to have something." And me and the director at the time, we literally went to properties that were available for sale. And I even popped my tire with some thorns and got a flat tire coming out of one place. We would go in there and we'd pray. And we'd just like, "God, can we have this one? God, can you help us? Help. We don't have anything, but we got to have land." And went to all these properties. Anyway, nothing was happening. And, that wasn't good. Is this still working? Okay. So we had a team that was coming in, and then Dean and I had made plans. We were leaving with that team in 93. And the night before we're leaving, there was this guy, he was helping us in, and he knew some Spanish, and he's actually from England, living in Canada. And if you know anybody from England, they're soccer fanatics. And he wanted to know the soccer scores. And so he comes to me, goes, "Hey, I was asking around town, and there's this newspaper. There's a lady selling newspapers. I'm going to go over there and get a newspaper." I said, "There's not a lady selling a newspaper in this town. They don't get newspapers. The newspapers you're going to get would be, they would wrap stuff, you know, in newspapers and bring goods, you know, that were packed in a truck or something. But you're not, there's nobody selling newspapers out here." He goes, no, they said, "Yeah." And I said, "Whatever, go buy a newspaper, you know." And so he comes back. It was really funny because he says, "You know, I went to this place, and the lady goes out, and she's walking me around, and the Spanish wasn't too good, and so he didn't know where or what was going on, and she's showing him the property and explaining, and when it finally realized, she's trying to sell me her place. She's trying to sell her land." And we're all laughing at him. Well, 3 in the morning, I sit up in my bed, and I'm like, "What place was for sale?" Well, I go back to sleep, and we load up that next morning. So 7 in the morning, we had loaded up, and we were rushing around, and we drove up to our mission. And in our two vehicles and the whole team, we stayed in the cars, and I asked Ramon, the director, to just say a prayer for us, for blessing us as we leave. And as he was praying, I'm going, oh, that land. I know where he went. We didn't go to that area. And so when he gets done praying, I said, Ramon, get over here. And I said, Ramon, over there, over that part of town, we never looked at property. There's somebody selling a place because this guy went to try to buy a newspaper. It's a place for sale. Go find out about it. You got our address. We're going to be at the farm. Take pictures. Tell me the whole story. Send it there. And so, see ya, and we take off. I didn't even see the place, okay? We leave to a month and a half later. We're here at the farm. Okay, and then another side note on that is I'm trying to get meetings with different churches, and I had two people that were part of our seminary, and there was a couple churches in the Chicago area, and I was going to go see them. So we had been writing them. You know, this is back in the day before everything happened. Even email. We were writing letters. I don't know if any of you even know. Well, yeah, a lot of you are older, so you know about that. So we're writing them and communicating in that way to set this up. So I get back to the States. Well, I'm calling them. Well, the one church went through a split, and one church, they just shut it down. It wasn't going, and they put it to rest. And I'm going, okay, this isn't good. But the whole time in my heart, I felt God was saying, you go home and relax. Just chill out. And I'm like, yeah, but nobody else is going to do this, so I got to do this. And the Lord's saying, I got this. And I'm like, trying to help him. And finally, when all the doors were like very clearly closed, I called my director and I said, what do you think we just, I said, I've just bagged the whole idea. And he goes, yeah, that's fine. I'm like, great. Then the mail comes in, and pictures from Ramon, and the story, and this place that's for sale, and he's got all this, and it's like an amazing, perfect thing for us. And so we translate it all, and I send it to the director, and our mission never had money. And I send it to him to see, you know, what do we do? What can we do? He calls me and he says, are you sitting down? I'm like, yeah. He goes, we got the money. When you get there, buy the place. And I went, what? What do you mean you got the money? Well, anyway, God goes before us. And there was a guy, a wealthy guy, came alongside of our mission and started literally buying startups. He wouldn't supply any operational funds, but he says, "Oh, we want to buy property and get a place set up. That's always the hardest." And he goes, "We got it." And I just went, "Wow! How many of you want to follow the Lord? Find out if it's authorized, and then believe." And I'm done. Honey, you can come up.
Morning. It is great to be with you all today. And just want to say thanks on the front side for embracing us, welcoming us, and allowing us to come home. It's interesting because Tim and I are at home in three nations. When we leave, when we're in Guatemala, we're at home. When we're in Costa Rica, we're at home, and we come here, and we're at home, too. And I think that's because that's how the body of Christ is supposed to be. As I was listening to Tim, runs through my mind the faithfulness of God. God is so incredibly faithful in our lives. And the cool thing is, because we can only see finitely, he's the only one that sees the beginning from the end, it pushes us to seek him, to know him, to learn to hear him and see if it's authorized. Today, that property that John found looking for a newspaper is the actual home of life in Guatemala, in the little town of San Andres Sacabaja. And it is a piece of heaven on earth. We have been in a season. I'm going to read a scripture first. It comes out of Psalm 90, verse 12. It says, "So teach us to number our days." One of the commentaries about teach us to number our days talks about an appointed time, an appointed season, that because when you often when we, that also means when you teach us to number our days, you're talking about living well the days that you have, and our life is short. The scripture is clear about that. However, part of a translation is teach us to number our days. I'm going to give you an appointed time. So most of you know, if not all of you, that we entered into an appointed time by circumstance. When our director passed away suddenly, and then a pandemic came right on the heels of that, God gifted us, although it didn't seem like a gift at the moment, with an appointed time. And the borders closed down. God was good to you all because he got your families back on the last two flights out of Guatemala. And the flights actually opened up on the 18th of September. So that would have been a long season for you all to be with us in San Andres. That was the Lord. That was a gift to us. But that initiated a time of a season and appointed time. And the Lord was very clear in one morning as I was praying. He said, "I'm giving you a time frame. I'm giving you a season. Live it to the full." So as we began to just seek the Lord about that, because children's care continued. You can't just close the doors and say, okay, we got to grieve right here. We can't take care of children. So children's care continued. We had a group of people that needed to do life together as we grieve together the loss of a very important person in our complex, in the team. And also a pandemic that came in. So we isolated, but just from the outside. We continue to function on the inside. Normally, children need faces. And so for us, it was a gift to be able to them to still to see our faces and to form and love and care for children. The other part of that was taking the walking alongside and accompanying the director, because when Sebastian lost his wife, Aurelia, they were co-directors. And when Aurelia went to be with Jesus, that left Sebastian in a place of a new place for him. And rather than come in and take his role, it was clear that we were just supposed to accompany him, come alongside, be wind in his sails. The philosophy that Tim and I have had over all these years in the countries that God has taken us to is train up the nationals, because we North Americans come and go for different reasons. But if you train up the nationals and you give them the tools to be able to do the ministry, then when we leave, the ministry continues. And so we came alongside Sebastian during that time to help him in this process. So as we were looking at this appointed time, we thought it was going to be like a month. I mean, seriously, we thought that this appointed time was going to be about a month or so. It ended up to be 7 months. We were exactly 7 months from the time we arrived and left Guatemala. So it was a season of time that was, it was longer than just that time. So the Father, one morning as we were praying, it was like, okay, how do you prepare, or how do you take an appointed time? It's you give tools so that they can continue. Because at one time we were going to be leaving. This season was going to change or come to an end, and we were going to be leaving. So it was like, okay, give them tools. Give them tools that they can have. And so we began to seek the presence of God. The presence of God was the place where we grieved the best. It was the place where you get vulnerable and you just pour out your heart to the Lord, and he meets you there. And so we just facilitated times of the presence of the Lord as a community. Because it's one thing when you pray individually, but it's a whole other thing when you come corporately and you seek the face of the Lord together. And so we established devotion times in the morning, a worship time in the middle of the day to facilitate the crossover of the shifts, and then we did a devotion time in the night for those that were interested. And God gave us 9 people that really wanted to press into the things of God. And as they were sitting around that table several nights with Tim and I, we just said, you can change the world. You nine people can change the world. It doesn't take hundreds and thousands. It takes one person that presses in and pursues God, wants to know him, and then they in turn teach, disciple, and multiply. One person, one congregation, one remnant can change the world. And so we just began to focus in on those. And we gave them four tools. There's many, but we gave them four. The importance of the Word of God. We live in a season, in a world, that the deception is very easy to fall into. There is one truth. It's right here, the Word of God. And to not fall into deception, you have to know who Jesus is. So we encouraged them. We memorized scripture together. We read the Proverbs together, the Word of God. The other one was talking to Jesus, prayer. It's just talking to the Father, that communication. And we facilitated it time together, but also encouraged them to do. There was one young man, his name is Benjamin. And the Lord stirred in his heart to get up every morning at 5 a.m. and go pray in our multi-purpose room. And so he began. He began to get up at 5 a.m. Faithful he was. And I could tell because I'm a morning person and I could see the light on over in the multi-purpose room. But that faithfulness of depositing in the spirit realm. And then some days I would go and join him, but it was like an encouragement for him to continue. So just that habit that he formed during that time is a habit. Hopefully, the goal is that these would be habits that they will take for the rest of their lives. So talking with Jesus, prayer. The third one is a grateful heart. Just having a grateful heart. When our hearts are grateful and thankful, the perspective changes no matter what you face. Being thankful for life, being thankful for the day, being thankful for the provision. God promises our daily bread. He doesn't provide, he doesn't promise all the rest, but he promises daily bread. He promises to walk with us. He doesn't promise that everything will be easy, but he promises to walk with us. And it's just that place of a grateful heart. And then the fourth one was embrace community. It's very easy to live isolated, but when we embrace community, God created us for community. God created us to be a body. And so we encourage them. And I have often said in the groups of people that work with us, community is the best place to grow and mature. Because when you live together, especially like we did for 6 months, all together, your mess comes down pretty quickly. You can't hide away too long. But the mentality is, if I embrace the community, then I allow other people to speak into my life. I allow other people to be a mirror for me. So it's the best part or the best way to mature, but it's also the most difficult way to mature because community is hard. And so we just begin to share those four habits. We call them a lifestyle so that they would then in turn take them. And here we are, and God is using them there. There's a young man, his name is Bartolo. He and Benny both grew up in Hogar de Vida. And when the pandemic happened, they didn't have jobs, so we brought them internal to be with us. And we had done a 21-day fast together with a church in Florida. And it was optional for those that wanted to. And a few of them jumped in, and Bartolo did not. And so about 9 days into the fast, he comes to me and he said, Dina, I started fasting. I said, well, what happened? He had a small conversation with a psychologist, community, where she was able to speak into his life and the Spirit of God changed him. God met him in that moment. And Maria was just encouraging him in his character, you know, in his personality or however he was talking with the caregivers. But it was the moment when the Spirit of God came and met Bartolo. And he said, I'm going to start this fast. Within the next couple of days, he heard a message, a sermon online. And he said, I need to talk with you. So he called me, so we set up a time. And Bartolo came and he said, I need to confess to you. And he just took time, because the Holy Spirit had convicted him to confess things that had been part of his life, things that were done to him, things that he had done. Because when confession comes, it brings forgiveness, restoration. And so God did a mighty work in Bartolo that day as he just shared his whole heart with me. And I just was the vessel to say, you are forgiven before the Father. You are absolved. Now let's go forward. And how do we set up accountability for you? That's what it's all about. That is what life is about, is in the moments being able to train, disciple, walk together, and then let them fly. God is doing that with the lives that are happening, that are in Hogar de Vida in Guatemala. And that's what God desires for us. Is it authorized? Are we doing, are we walking in what God has called us to do? The children at Hogar de Vida are in a great spot. They are continuing to grow. They are continuing to develop. The ones that were really far behind, little by little, God is restoring them. That is the heartbeat of Hogar de Vida. And not only for the children there, but to the community around about us. And so we, during the pandemic, were able to continue to help children and families out in the aldeas, which we will continue to do once the doors open up for us to be more outside of the thing, outside of the compound. But I believe that this appointed time was the time to deposit in the spirit realm. It was the time to deposit in prayer for the people that surround Hogar de Vida. Because what is the Father's heart? That not one would perish, but that all would have come to the knowledge of him, which in essence is all of the reason that we are there. Because you are a part of us, that's your fruit also. What God does in San Andres Acabajá at Hogar de Vida is your fruit also. Because that's how the kingdom of God works. That's how that multiplication works. That's how the body works. And we just want to say thank you to all of you that pray for us, are part of us financially, those of you that have come, those of you that will come at some time. That is just how the body functions for us. I just want to share one other scripture this morning. 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3 talks about being living epistles. We are living in a time when, my mom would say if she was alive, we are living in exciting times. We are living in the time, the end times. A pastor said it one day. He said, I believe we're in the last chapter, at least the first page. How long that chapter lasts, only God really knows. But we are in the last chapter of this time. And God has called us. We are the body of Christ. We are light and salt. And you don't have to be anywhere except where God has called you to be. Light and salt in your sphere of influence. And it says, be living epistles, read by men. What does that mean? That means how I live, how I react, how I respond, so people read my lifestyle. And I believe that that is a call to us as the church today. This church, the church around the world, it is the time for the church to shine. It is the time for the church to rise up. It is time for the church to look different from the world. We just have to look different. And that's what I believe that God is calling us to do around the world, and encouragement to you. And in order to look different, you have to know if it's authorized. Because what is of God will last. What is not of God will one day burn away. And so, on behalf of Hogar de Vida, all of the children, the staff, we just ask that as the Holy Spirit brings us to mind, would you pray for us? Would you pray for the children that are there, the lives, the young adults, the teenagers that are there, because those people in that place can change Guatemala. They can. They can change Guatemala. And God lets us be a part of that just because he is good. So thank you so much for being a part of us, loving us, welcoming us always. And may the Lord continue to use you right in your sphere of influence, right where God has called you to be light and salt, to embrace this appointed time. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for today. Father, I thank you for this body. I thank you for this part of the body of Christ at large. Thank you for knowing us, for loving us, for saving us, for giving us opportunity to love you back and to love our neighbor. Father, I pray that we would be a people that would be light and salt, that we would always be a compass that points people to you, Jesus, because you are the only true north, that we would embrace this appointed time, this season that you have called us to live on. And by your Holy Spirit, would you empower us? Would you sharpen our ears that we would hear what the Spirit of God is saying? Would you open our eyes that we could see in the spirit realm further on than what we just see physically, but open our spiritual eyes? And Father, would you prepare hearts even now, even today, Father, to receive the truth of Jesus when we seed it, when we live, when we are living epistles, living letters, Father, for the community around us. Father, we pray for our nation. Thank you for America. Thank you, Father, that this nation was founded upon you. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would stir the church, stir the church, stir the church, Lord God, that we would rise up and look different than the world. Father, we commit to you the election, the time, in this season, Lord God, and we just ask you. Your word says that you put people in places of leadership and you take them away. So, Father, we trust you in that. We trust you in that process, but would you stir the church? Would you stir the church? Would you bring revival to the church? Father, thank you for resurrection and all the churches that are represented in this room today. Father, we ask, Lord, that for your anointing. We ask, Father, for the power of the Holy Spirit to work in and through each one at church, as church bodies, but also, Father, our individual lives. Father, thank you so much. We love you today. We bless you today. You alone are worthy. And in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.